Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you stopped lying to your wife yet? Excuse me? I was just a little shocked at the question, but it was repeated. Have you stopped lying to your wife yet? Well, I wasn't quite sure how to answer that question. If I simply said yes, well, that would imply that I had not been truthful to my spouse, but have now stopped. And if I simply said no, well, that would seem to imply that I'm continuing to lie to my spouse. A simple yes or no would not suffice to answer a loaded question that assumed guilt. More had to be said, much more. Like, what kind of awful question is that? Our Lord Jesus Christ was asked a similar question by a group of people called the Sadducees. Now, this took place outside the temple courtyard toward the conclusion of Jesus' public ministry. He had already ridden into Jerusalem on the colt to the cries of Hosanna to the Son of David with palm branches waving in the air. He had gone into the temple and turned over the tables in the courtyard, signifying this impending cleansing of the temple. And now he was getting grilled with questions that were designed to trap him and trip him. Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And then there was this one about marriage and the resurrection. Well, Jesus doesn't give a simple yes or no answer to these loaded questions. He has more to say, much more, in fact. But you know, at the heart of the question for the Sadducees was this: what happens to us when we die? Here's the thing. The Sadducees already had in their mind that there was nothing more that happens when you die. Their philosophy was simple: eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. End of story, return to the dust, game over. Here's the thing, no one is really too sure why they believed what they believed concerning life after death, especially because most of Israel had some hope of the resurrection. Now, to clarify, resurrection means the undoing of sin and death's separation of body from soul. Resurrection means the body remade and the spirit or life of the person to be reunited with the remade body, never to be separated again. That's life, body and soul. What we do know about this group is that they claim to take the Torah, the Pentateuch, which is the books of Moses, seriously. They dismiss oral traditions and kind of footnotes and marginal readings. They claim that what Moses had written was their scriptures. But they missed something along the way. And the question they posed to Jesus, the one about the widow who had married the seven brothers after the previous brother had died, was a reference to a law for Levitical marriages that were instituted by Moses. The law provided that if a man was married to a woman and they had no children, and if this man died, his brother was to take his deceased brother's wife to be his own, bring her into his household to care for her, protect her, to provide for her, and to procreate with her, so that she would have someone who would carry on the family name and offer care and support for her in her old age. This law, as strange as it may sound to our modern ears, was ultimately for the care of the widow. Now, that was the pragmatic and the practical approach. But there's more to this. Since all the faithful Jews clung to the promise of God made to Adam and Eve in the garden, that one being born of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, having a child, particularly a son, was always in hopes of the fulfillment of the Messiah being revealed. So it was theological as it was pragmatic. It was a good law. The Sadducees take this good law and they put it to Jesus. Seven brothers, one after another, dies after marrying this widow. There are no children to speak of, only sorrow upon sorrow as the seven husbands are buried in the ground. Now, ask the Sadducees, which one will be the husband of the widow at the resurrection? It's the wrong question. Because for the Sadducees, there is no resurrection, only death, grief, and sorrow. That's all there is for them, nothing more. It's sad to say, you and I know people like this. We all have friends or family members, for whatever reason, believe that this world, this experience of life, is all that there is. They believe that there's nothing more to be said about an existence beyond the grave. They believe that no one or nothing can change our fate. Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, for tomorrow we die. You know, Sadducees who ask the question about you concerning the Christian faith, not really wanting or expecting an answer, or to necessarily have an honest dialogue with you, but questions that are meant to test you, to trap you, to mock you, or humiliate you for what you believe concerning Christ and the resurrection. They come with their own assumptions and accusations. Well, have you stopped lying to your wife yet? They look to paint you into a corner and leave you without a reply. And that is sad. Let's look again to Jesus. See, Jesus doesn't play their games. He says, you do not know the scriptures. You do not know the power of God. And then Jesus from there goes on to point them to the scriptures, particularly Moses, and demonstrate the power of God. The scriptures say that man and woman were created to be in relation with God and with one another. Their lives of faith to God were to be lived out in the way that they loved each other. Marriage was given for the purpose of loving service to the other. In addition to this, marriage is the way in which God continues to create and bring life into existence. Now, in the Paradise of Eden, God gave man and woman in marriage with this command to be co-creators with him. Be fruitful, multiply. And in the beginning, all was so good that man and woman, that is, husband and wife, were so safe and so secure in their marriage that they were naked and they felt no shame. But then Satan and sin enter the picture. Satan tempts husband and wife away from faith in God and then away from love for each other. Sin makes a mess of what God created to be good. And marriages from the time of Adam and Eve have sadly now become places where husbands and wives seek their own good over their spouses. And at times have been places of all kinds of abuses. Husbands and wives who desire children sadly are not always able to have them. And then there are those who desire children and abandon them or abort them. Sin makes a mess out of what God has created to be good. It infects us to the very core of our being, and it strikes at the heart of marriage and God's good purpose for it in this present age. But even so, the Lord, as is written in the scriptures, will intervene and intercede. He will undo sin's curse, and he will sin's disease. The Lord will bring life even out of death. The Messiah shall come, and in Christ he has. One born of a woman will accomplish this task of crushing the head of the serpent while his heel is bruised. No, Sadducees, you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus goes on to say that in the resurrection, there won't be marriage. There won't be giving and getting married, for the gift of marriage is for this present age. I know that's upsetting perhaps to some of you who gathered this morning, especially if you have a good marriage. It might be upsetting to you if you're married to a faithful spouse because you have a history with them. You share memories and experiences together. You have endured the lows and you have celebrated the highs together. You may have children, grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. You couldn't possibly imagine life without your spouse by your side. And hearing Jesus' word about marriage and the resurrection, well, it doesn't necessarily offer much comfort. And I can empathize with you. But look again to Jesus. We are called not to idolize or idealize our marriages, as good as they may be or as strong as they are, because the problem always remains, and that problem is sin. Sin is the root of all the hardships, the trials, the sorrows, the separations that occur in this age. Sometimes it's the sin that we commit, like the harsh words that we speak to one another or the wrong actions that we take towards one another. Other times it's simply the fact that we live in a creation that is so affected by sin that things that should be right, like having a child, are filled with sorrow and heartache. Not because of anything that we have done, but because sin affects us all, and sin will always lead to separation. Death is always the result of sin. See, if marriages in this age survives the challenges of childbearing and parenthood or faithfulness or infidelity, marriage in this age will not survive death. And if the Sadducees are right, if nothing else is to be said, if nothing else can be hoped for, well, then what? Sadducees, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God in Christ Jesus. For this, Jesus takes this question and comes back to the scriptures and reveals the power of God. A bush on fire, but not consumed by the flames. A living God who speaks to Moses. Not just any God, but the one true God, I am, Yahweh. And this God reveals to Moses that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The thing is, Moses knew that these men were dead. The Sadducees knew that Moses had died centuries earlier. But Jesus points them to the fact that God calls them living. And as God lives, so too does Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. Even though their bodies are buried in the ground, long returned to the dust that they were created from, they live with the living I am. Jesus is in the temple when this question was put to him. But soon he'll be peppered with more questions to entrap him. Pontius Pilate, Herod, the Sanhedrin calling for Jesus to die based on fear and on false charges. And then outside the temple, outside the city walls, Jesus would suffer sin. He'd be separated from his disciples, his mother. His clothes would be separated from his body. His flesh separated from his bones. He'd be separated from his father. And finally, his spirit would be separated from his body. And just like all the rest of us, he died. He was buried. Was that the end? O Sadducees, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God in Christ Jesus. Sunday morning, body and spirit were reunited. Jesus and his disciples were reunited. The beginning of reunions had begun. 40 days of joy in reunion after Jesus was raised by the power of God from the dead. But then is bodily ascension into heaven a separation? No, a fuller union as he sends the Holy Spirit. He unites himself in word, water, bread, wine. The church comes to life and lives its life united to Christ. Jesus now prepares the church, his bride, by washing it, by making it holy, so that at the last day, there would be no more separations, but only a fuller reunion at the wedding feast of the Lamb and his bride in the fullness of the kingdom, which shall have no end. And you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have been united to Christ in holy baptism. See, he has already dealt with the sin that separates us as he made you a member of his bride, the church. His love will endure beyond all earthly experiences or pleasures. And if you have been united with Christ in baptism, you are united to the risen and the living Lord. Death cannot separate you from his love, and it will not separate you from your loved ones who yet live in Christ. Death may end an earthly marriage in this age, but it will never end the union that you share as the very bride of Christ. Now, in the resurrection, it will be different. Jesus says so. But it will be good, even very good, better than we have ever experienced in this age. And this, dearly beloved, is what the Scriptures point to. This is the power of God in Christ Jesus over sin and death. For it's pointing us always and ever to Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. He's not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.